They asked me, I guess, to like basically share the bridge illustration. So I really just wanted to talk briefly a little bit first. Just kind of like, I mean, part of this conference, you know, this conference really is about evangelism, and that's kind of what we come here to do is, and honestly, you know, when that word evangelism is kind of a scary word. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that. I mean, anyone else, when you hear that word, your first thought is like, that's what I was built for. Like, I am ready to go out there and tell people about Jesus. Like, there's very few of those people that actually exist. I'm not one of them. I'm petrified of doing it, to be honest with you. But when it comes to this idea of evangelism, what are the very first thoughts that you guys have? Just kind of throw them at me. What comes to your mind when you hear that word? Reaching out, okay? How about that? Any other words? Speaking? Public speaking? Yeah, maybe not you, huh? No, okay. Yeah, okay, reaching out. Having to, you know, communicate something. What else? What else comes to your mind? Sharing your faith. Yeah. Relationships. Yeah, that old famous cold turkey versus relationship. You guys have heard that? That thing. People are like, well, we're going to go tell people that we've never met before about Jesus. I personally have never been a fan of that. Because I'm going to have to go, first of all, I have to go talk to someone that I've never met before in my entire life, which I don't like doing. And then I'm going to have to tell them something they probably don't want to hear, which is also something I'm not a fan of doing. So I used to work at a gas station, and like people would try to get gas, but their credit cards wouldn't work. And I have to tell them, it's like, your credit card doesn't work. And they get mad at me. I'm like, I have to tell you something you don't want to hear, but I can't give you gas. So it was a fun job. Then I would have people that try to buy alcohol with fake IDs, and I'd be like, that's fake. They're like, how do you know? It's like, because you're wearing your high school ID badge. I can tell you're not over 18 or 21. Whatever it is. It's been a while since I've been that age, so. What's another word? Is another anything else that comes to your mind before we kind of broach this topic? You know, honestly, for me, it's scared. It's fear. Because, like I said, I don't like going up to people I don't know. Even if I do know them, I don't want to offend them, right? I mean, that's really because, you know, it's weird because we talk about evangelism and we talk about faith and it's, you know, we're passionate about Christ. I don't think that's the problem. Right? We're not afraid to say that we follow Christ. We're afraid of the reaction of someone when we tell them we follow Christ. Does that kind of sound familiar? Maybe that describes you a little bit? Maybe you're just like, no, actually, I've never thought of that ever. Maybe it's just me. Maybe the only person here in this room that doesn't like sharing Christ. I've got a quote here. It says, it's not that people are ashamed, i.e., you know, they wear t-shirts, we have stickers, we carry our Bibles, you know, we have the fish on the cars. We're not ashamed of Christ. It's just that we're not equipped and experienced. It's not a question about being ashamed. It's a question about not being confident. The more you get out there, the more experience you get, the more confidence you gain. It's just like anything. You know, anything you do the first time is going to be a little awkward. It's going to be a little shy. You know, it's going to be strange for you. I've got this great desire to go skydiving. I don't know why. I see war movies and I see paratroopers. I'm just like, man, I really want to do that. And then, like, reason steps in and says, Tim, you're in a plane that's not crashing. And you want to jump out of the plane and fall. And I'm going, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. I was just thinking, like, oh, it'd be cool to say I've been skydiving. Right? Like, it goes back and forth. But, you know, I know if, you know, plus I am going, by the way, hopefully next semester. They're going to have to push me out of that plane. Because the moment I get to that door, what am I going to want to do? I'm going to squat back down, crawl into like a little fetal position, and hang on to dear life to someone's leg. That's what I'm going to do. I've got a buddy named Chris. He's actually in the U.S. Army. He's in the paratroopers. That's what he does. This is really cool. You're like, so what do? I jump out of planes and shoot people. He's in sniper school. The dude's intense. You know, like those intense people? That's him. You play like video games with him, I feel like I'm in an actual war with him because he's yelling at me and telling me to go over here and I don't know what I just push buttons. But anyway, he's telling me, he's like, you know, when they're in their training, the sergeants, once you get on that plane, you're going to get off the plane by jumping. You don't back out. They just kick you out of the plane. The reason they do that is because they know you have to get over the fear of doing it. And once you make the jump the first couple times, it's no longer afraid to get to the doorway of the plane and then jump for it. In the same way, that's the idea about evangelism. The moment we get to that door of opportunity to try to share with someone, we freeze up. We're comfortable already inside the plane, right? We're comfortable because we know we're safe, we know we're going to land, and we know we're going to be able to keep our little relationship. I like planes, planes like me. I don't jump out of them. We're happy together. But we're scared to jump out of that door going, okay, if I jump, guess what? I might not be totally in charge of what happens next. See, I'm in charge of when I'm on something solid. I know where I'm going. But the moment I jump out of that plane, guess what's in charge now? It's not me. Guess what? It's gravity. Gravity and wind and all these other fun things are in charge. It's not me. And I just have to be able to control it all the way down. And it's kind of like how it is. Every time I jump into a conversation with someone, and I'm trying to share Christ with them, I feel like I'm out of control because I have no idea what's about to happen. I don't know how they're going to respond. I don't know if they're going to bark at me. I don't know if they're going to say, man, I've been waiting for someone to tell me this my entire life. But here's the thing, though. Is it worth jumping out of the plane? Is it worth engaging someone with the gospel? I think so. My friend, John Kelsey, he says, I've never looked back at sharing the gospel with someone and regretted it. He shares the gospel. Every week we're on campus. I work at the University of Oklahoma, if you haven't noticed from my upside down Longhorns. Every week I'm on campus, I'm sharing the gospel with people. That's just part of my job. I mean, that's my job, but it's just what I like to do. But it's not what I like to do when I was a freshman at college. I wasn't even walking with God when I was a freshman in college. It took people reaching out to me day in and day out, constantly sharing the gospel with me until I finally realized this is what I've been looking for. See, those guys took the risk and they jumped out of the plane. They engaged me and I responded. So every week I do this and I meet people from all over spiritually. So that's another thing we have to realize when it comes to sharing the gospel is everybody is on a spiritual journey. Even if they say they're an atheist, even if they say that, they're a Hindu or a Buddhist, everybody's on a spiritual journey because God created us with that. This is just a spiritual longing. The problem is we don't know how to find it. We don't know where to go with it. So the enemy has come in and he's basically given us all these different options to try to find that spiritual longing that we all have. Some people go towards Hinduism, Islam. Other people just go towards themselves. They try to worship themselves, money, popularity, entertainment. These are all avenues that people are trying to find this spiritual journey on. So everyone's on a journey towards something spiritual. That's just something you have to understand. Anytime you engage somebody, they're somewhere on that line. And that's a question I love to talk to people. I just go up to them and say, hey, where are you on your spiritual journey? And I'll tell you what, I've had atheists tell me where they're at. They're like, I've been on that journey for a long time, and I just don't think there's a God anymore. But the moment they say that, they acknowledge to me that they're on some kind of journey. And that's what they're trying to find. The other thing we have to understand, it's just that, I just had it in my head. It's just, when we're going in, we're trying to share the gospel with somebody, is people are not scared about talking about spiritual things. You guys know that? People are not scared to talk about spiritual things. They might not want to talk about Jesus, but they're okay with talking about God. We live in a culture today where people are desperately trying to find the spiritual journey, the answer, right? They're trying to figure out, why am I here? What on earth am I supposed to do with my life? Why is stuff not being, satisfied? Everybody is looking for that, and they're okay with talking about it. The problem is we just won't jump out of the plane and approach the topic, right? So that's another thing we can learn, just be okay with. Just before you jump out of the plane, just realize they're looking for this already. It's okay to talk about God. Like I said, I go on campus every single week. I usually ask a couple different questions. I have different approaches, depending on how I'm at. I also take a guy with me, by the way. This is just a free tip. When you go out with some, when you go out, you want to share the gospel, whether it's just with a friend or you just want to go out on campus or, around the city and just meet somebody you've never met before, take someone with you. It's kind of fun. It's kind of like a double team. So what you do is, I got a guy named Andrew. I take him out. Him and Andrew and I go out every single week on Tuesdays at 2:00. That's kind of our time because that's when he gets out of class and that's when I get done kind of doing like my work, I guess. If you call it work, I'm usually on a computer doing something. And we just go on campus for a while. We don't really have a set time. We just kind of walk around campus. And it's cool because we have these two roles that we play. And I'll tell Andrew, it's like, okay, Andrew, I'm going first, meaning I'm going to initiate the conversation. Andrew's job is to pray. That's all he's doing. So I'm talking to this guy the whole time, and Andrew's just standing there praying. And then, guess what happens? The next guy we meet. We switch the roles. I'm like, Andrew, this is your time. Go. You're taking on the conversation. I'm just praying for you the whole time. And as we're walking on cross campus, we're just saying, okay, God, you know, we'll just talk openly, you know, to each other. But we act like we're talking to each other, but we're talking to God too. We're just saying, okay, God, you know, show us who we need to talk to next. I mean, I'm on a campus of 25,000 people. You know, at 3 o'clock when the class is let out, you know, I'm swamped with 2,000 people on, you know, on a main strip of our campus. How in the world do I find the right person to talk to? We just say, God, we're going to go find him, you know, and Andrew sometimes just be like that guy. I'm like, all right, let's go talk to him. And so, you know, that's how it works. We switch these roles. The other thing, too, is Andrew's a freshman, and I'm on staff at the BSU. What am I doing is I'm taking a younger guy with me, and I'm trying to show him how to do it. And maybe you're in this room right now, and it's like, man, I don't really know how to do it. I'm not even comfortable myself. Well, find someone on your campus that does it, and just go up to him and say, hey, I've realized that, you know, you're really good at this. Or you have a passion for this. Can you just take me? Can I just go? I don't want to talk. I just want to watch you. But I'll tell you what, if you take me, I'll pray for you. Okay. Yeah, come on. And then be like, hey, can I start the conversation this time? And when I get in trouble, just bail me out. That's what Andrew does. We have these like questions we kind of ask each other. Like whenever Andrew doesn't know what to say next, like, Tim, what do you think? I'm like, well, I was wondering what you said. And then I'll kind of take over. And sometimes, you know, because Andrew's kind of shy, I'll just be like, hey, Andrew, you know, you got any questions for him? Because I've been training Andrew on questions to ask. I give him questions, right? And he'll be like, yeah, actually, I was wondering, like, you know, and then he'll just go off. So I just think the biggest thing for us is just fear. We're just scared of what people might think of us because we're saved or Christian. But I think it's weird because we go to church, we carry our Bibles, we have stickers on our car. We just don't want to make people upset, right? I do want to share with you guys a verse, 1 Peter 3:15. If you guys have a Bible, I want you guys, one of the guys, to read that. And then after that, I'll take us into the bridge. I think it's interesting, you know, when we're talking about just having a life that really reflects Christ, because really that's all evangelism is. Evangelism is just simply, you're living your life in such a way that people may see Christ. Okay? That's Matthew 4:16. That's what it is. Your life makes people curious about Christ, right? It's really interesting. Part of my testimony is I used to not be a people person at all. I hate people, by the way. The reason I love you right now is because of Jesus. Not because I'm, you know, an extrovert by any means. I'm an introvert. And if you know anything about like personality types, I'm a melancholy and a phleg. Okay, so if you take introvert, melancholy, and phleg, basically, if this is people, I'm going to be like way over here by myself, kind of reading a book in a corner, and I'm okay with that. I'm happy with that. I don't want to talk to you. But as I have walked with Christ, and I just realized, okay, just because I'm an introvert by nature, just because I'm a melancholy, does not give me the excuse to say, God, you did not ask me to go share Christ with people. Just because I'm that way, I can't say, well, that's for the extroverts. Okay, God, that's not who I am. I'm sorry, Tim. But I need you to go talk to the other introverts. Because the extroverts are scaring the heck out of them. So why don't you, since you know how they think, go be their friend and not freak them out. So you can't let your personality dictate who you're going to share Christ with. That's just, you know, if you're an introvert, you know, like me, if you're an extrovert, hey man, world's platform, man, go after it. Man, I'm really glad. My best buddy, David Wooster, he's here. He's actually doing a really sweet seminar later about how to really reach out to people on your campus. So if you don't have one to go to, I would encourage you guys to go to that one. David is an extrovert, like extreme. Like he walked into a room and people just like him. And I used to be really mad at him for that. And then I realized God created David that way. And God created me my way, you know, the way I am. And together, David and I make a sick pair when we go share the gospel. Because we can figure everybody out. So it doesn't matter who we walk up to. If it's a natural introvert, I can pick off and relate with them. If it's an extrovert, I just let David go after and I just pray for him the whole time. So don't let your personality dictate it. Matthew, 1 Peter 3:15. So I want to read that and then I want to show you four things. Someone just read it out loud.
But in your hearts, honor Christ your Lord as holy, always being prepared to make defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence.
Yeah. Ready to go. I forgot my Bible on the desk. It's in the main room. I left it on the computer. Not terrible when the speaker forgets his Bible. Man. Fire him. Don't take in. Don't listen to that guy. He didn't even bring a Bible. No. 1 Peter 3:15, yeah. I think there's some key things we can learn in this. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So the first thing I want you guys to see is just simply, it's four P's. How's that? That makes it simple for you guys, right? All good sermons or whatever have everything that starts with the same letter. Right, I heard that sometime. But I got four. Apparently you're supposed to have three, but I've got four. I hope that's okay. First one is just called, I'm just going to say preparation. Okay, notice how the verse starts off, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be what? Prepared. Yeah, okay, so the first part of that kind of assumes that you're a believer. It says what? But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Guys, it's a really simple concept, but if you're not a Christian, it's really hard to share Christ with other people and understand it, right? See, the idea of setting apart Christ as Lord is this idea of saying, okay, God, I understand it. I get it. You are Lord. Now, back in the olden days, right, when you had kings and you know, knights and serfs and, you know, peasants and all that good stuff, right, you had the Lord, right? Now, if a Lord went up to a peasant and say, you know, hey, peasant, I want you to, you know, sow, you know, grain in my field, what does the peasant do? Does he tell him, no, I'm going to go play the PlayStation right now? No. The peasant didn't have any... He has to do it, right? Regardless of what his activities were for the day, they are no longer going to happen. He is now going to do exactly what the Lord says. That's the same kind of mentality we have when we set apart Christ as Lord. What we're saying is, okay, God, I have an agenda for my day. And that's okay. But if you step in and say, I want you to jump out this plane, guess what I do? I'm going to jump out the plane. You see, it's really interesting. I'm just going to hand that back to you. It's really interesting, you know, on our day, you have to kind of think it's really interesting, you know, we have a day, okay, right? This is your day. This is you over here. And we're just kind of moving forward through our day. Now, you might think this is really interesting, but guess what's going to happen along your day? Right? I'll draw a little girl here in case you ladies, you know, you might want to talk to her. What happens throughout your day? What do? You meet people. Yeah. You interact with people. Unless you're like me and you'd rather just stay back here the whole day and never talk to anybody. You interact with people all the time. You know, you're interacting with people, you know, who you live with. You interact with people in the cafeteria. You're interacting with people in your classrooms. My favorite time to talk to people are on the way between one classroom to another. That's actually how I go out and share the gospel. I go on campus and I'll be like, you know, I'll go to the dorms, right? And I put my backpack on and I put like a ball cap on and pretend like I'm a student. I usually have to shave first. That makes me look a few years younger. I used to be able to walk into dorms. Now they won't give them, you know, they won't let me in anymore. They'd be like, you don't live here. I'd be like, I used to. I used to get the freshman t-shirts every year, you know, the class of 08, class of 010. And they finally was like, dude, you're not even in college anymore. I was like, yeah, but they think I am if I have this. I try everything I can, okay? So I'll just walk on campus and I'll be like, you know, so I go to the dorms and I find a guy just walking, right? And we'll go up to him and he's like, hey, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm going to the science building. I'm like, oh yeah, me too. Right? That's where I'm going now. I didn't say I'm going to class there, but I am going to the building. Why? Because I'm just going to walk with him the whole way. I was like, dude, that's a 15-minute walk. Man, I'm going to have a whole time to talk with this guy. And then as soon as I get to the science building, guess what I do? I find a guy leaving. I'm like, hey, where are you going? Back to the dorms. Oh yeah, me too. And guess what I do? Every Tuesday, I hit the campus two or three times. That's all I do. It's great. And people, you know, and now it's really fun. I met a guy. We'll call him Ralph. Ralph is a Muslim. That's not his real name, but we're going to call him that. I just want to protect him. Ralph is a Muslim. And it's really interesting. I met him at the science building. Guess what? Walking back to the dorms, right? After I talked to another guy. And Andrew and I met Ralph. And it's really interesting. You know, when we're talking and, you know, I packed him. He's like, so where are you from? He's like, oh, I'm from Bangladesh. I was like, no way. And I had some friends that were in Bangladesh this summer. So it's really interesting. You know, as you're engaging conversations, you're going to try to find what I call bridges to conversations. You're going to try to find something that you have in common to relate to them about. So as soon as he's saying Bangladesh, what did I think of? Man, I've got friends that were there this summer. So I said, hey, where were you living in Bangladesh? Because my friends were, I try to find, he's like, oh no, I lived, you know, farther up in north in the country. And I was like, oh yeah, what's it like up there? And then he explained it to me. He's like, oh yeah, it's not like Oklahoma, is it? And he's like, no. What am I doing is I'm starting to find these bridges. And what that does is you can start having this conversation with somebody without being weird. You ever have, you know those weird people? They come up to you, they've already got the Bible in their hand, right? You know, they're carrying it like this, and you're like, hey, can I talk to you for a moment? It's like, well, I'm going to class. It's like, well, I need, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? It's like, I don't know. Well, you need to figure that out. Now, does that work? Man, I tell you what, I'm glad those people are out there because it works. It gets you thinking, but sometimes it's a little weird. So I try to engage somebody because I'm walking throughout my day and I'm interacting with people. But, you know, if I don't set Christ as Lord in my life, you're trying to figure out where is he going with this. If I don't have Christ as Lord in my life, guess what that conversation is with that person? It's just a conversation with that person. I don't move them closer to the kingdom. See, another thing I think it's another misconception about evangelism is if we don't get them to accept Christ, we failed. Anyone ever think that? You're like, man, I tried talking with Jesus about him, but they didn't want it. I'm a failure. Anyone ever feel that way? I get rejected every single week at the University of Oklahoma trying to share Christ with people. Am I a failure? Someone flip over to Isaiah 55:11. Thank you, Michael. We'll come back to 1 Peter in a second. I just want you guys to show you this thing real fast. Isaiah 55:11. Okay, let me read it for you guys. It says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What that tells me, guys, is every time we share Christ with somebody, every time we try to share Jesus, it's a win. Regardless of how they respond. Why? Because we cause them to think about Christ. Every time His Word goes out, guys, guess what? What happens when we speak the Word of God? It's going out. See, we're God's mouthpiece, right? God uses us. He could just boom it from the clouds and cause, you know, everyone to hear it. But God uses us. Why? Because people can't see Jesus. If people don't know Him, they can't see Him. But what can they see? They can see me. They can see Michael, right? They can see you. See, I can draw another picture, but you're here, and, you know, they're here and God is here and they can't see Him, but they can see you. You're the reflection of Christ to them. See, they can't see Christ until they accept Him. The moment they accept Him, then they say, oh, hey, there you are. Man, I can see you, God. So every time we engage with people, we're the image of God to them. We are the voice of God to them. And every time we try to share Christ with them, every time we love on them, every time we just simply take them out for a meal and tell them, hey man, the reason I'm doing this is because I love Jesus and Jesus loves you. If that's all I ever say, then I moved them closer to Christ because I got them to think about Him. But if Christ isn't Lord of my life, I don't have that mentality. I'm not even thinking, how can I get this guy closer to Jesus? So set your heart apart for the Lord. 1 Peter 1:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Okay, the second piece. So the first one is preparation. Be prepared. Okay? The second P. Now, this is kind of interesting. Listen to this. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Now, it's not, you don't see it, but it's kind of there. If someone's going to ask you, okay, about why you have this hope, why are you, Dude, you just bombed a test. Why are you okay? Dude, your girlfriend just dumped you. Why are you okay? Which happens, right? Like, Tim, why are you not upset right now? I'm just like, dude, if she ain't the right one, I don't want to waste any more time. Right? I mean, Tim, you know, man, the weather's terrible. Why are you happy? Okay, if people can ask me those questions, what does it assume with me and them? Yeah, yeah. So you've got something. They're seeing it. So there's something about Adrian, right? I just read your name tag. There's something about Adrian. They're looking at him. They're like, man, this guy's full of joy or something. You know? What is that? So they're seeing it. So if they're seeing it, what does that suppose? You're on the right track. I'll tell you guys. They're close enough to you to see it. There's a proximity factor. That's the second P, is proximity. If somebody is close enough to you, you know, if they're engaging you, if you sit next to them every day in class, if you see them every day in your dorm rooms, if you see them in a cafeteria, by the way, I love people that work at restaurants and Walmart. I go to Walmart at the same time every single week. Usually it's about Thursday night at 1 o'clock in the morning. I guess it's Friday at 1 o'clock in the morning. Why do I go to Walmart? Well, that's usually when I get off work from our big, you know, worship night. By the time I get home, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Why do I go to Walmart every single Thursday at 1 o'clock? Because the same people are working every single Thursday at 1 o'clock. Say that one, right? Guess what? I know my Walmart cashiers. They know me. They see me every Thursday. And guess what I ask them? Hey, how's life? How are your kids? I had a lady, and one day I was just like, and this is usually what I say, it's bold, guys, it's crazy, I tell you, I'm weird sometimes too. I just tell them, it's like, hey, I'm a Christian, and I like to pray for people. Is there any way that I could pray for you on my way home tonight? And tell you what, most of the time, after they're kind of blown away that someone would say that, they actually open up a little bit, and they'll tell me about their life. I had a lady one time saying, you know what, this is when, you know, the economy started dropping. She said, you know what, my son just had a baby, and he just lost his job. You could pray that he could get a new job. 2 weeks later, guess what? She told me after I came back and asked her how her son's doing. She's like, and it kind of hit her. She's like, he got a job. I was like, well, I've been praying for that. She's like, thank you. Now, did I necessarily share the whole bridge with her? No. But did I move her towards Jesus? Yeah. Why? Because I'm close enough to her, right? My Walmart cashier lady. I see her enough times that we have a relationship now. And that's just a lady I see maybe once every couple weeks. What about the people in your classrooms? What about the people in your halls? What about the people in, you know, the cafeteria or the restaurants you go to? You see them almost every day. Is it too hard to reach out to the person next to you in your classroom and just begin, hey, what's your name? I'm Tim. I'm Adrian. I'm Michael. You know, I'm Sally. I don't know, right? I mean, if you're gonna, you know, you can be kind of quirky at first, right? You'd be like, hey, we're gonna sit together all summer or, you know, all semester, so we might as well get to know each other's names. Proximity. But in your hearts, be prepared to give an answer. Okay, what are you going to say? What are you going to say to them? Oh, you know, yeah, like this question, hey man, how are you doing today? I'm good. And I'm cool, I'm fine. And you can have the worst day of your life and you're going to say, I'm cool. Or you could be totally crazy and be like, I tell you what, man, my day is terrible, but Jesus is good. I don't know, I've never heard that one before. But what did I do? Yeah, I told them I'm okay, right? I'm doing fine. But I also, what did I do? I kind of threw a little hook out there in the water just to see if they bite on it. And that's all I say. Maybe that's all I'd say. And then I kind of talked to them for a few more weeks. You know, I fly my flag a little bit. But I let them know, man, Jesus is the reason that I'm happy. Jesus is the reason I'm okay. Are you prepared to do that? Or are you just going to say, I'm cool? Are you willing to step out of the plane, right? Are you willing to step out and just take a little risk? Because you don't know how they're going to respond. They could be like, man, I'm an atheist and I hate Jesus and I hate you. Cool. Well, I still love you, man. We're going to sit by each other all semester, so you want to be my work partner? I mean, what are you going to say to them? What's your testimony? Have you guys shared your testimony? Here in a minute when we get to the bridge, the testimony is such a vital part of the bridge illustration. And the reason it is because without your testimony, the bridge illustration is just something they don't understand. Because why? They don't see Jesus, do they? Well, who do they see? They see you. So when you incorporate your testimony with the bridge illustration, that helps them start seeing the illustration. It helps them start seeing, more importantly, the truth of the gospel behind the picture that you're drawing. Without your testimony, guys, it's really hard for them to see that. A lot of times it's just another picture on a napkin. And I've drawn a lot of bridges on a lot of napkins. Usually they just wipe their face on it and throw it away, but you know, at least they saw it. So what's your testimony going to be? Learn to connect your story with the story. You ever thought about that? How can you connect your story, your testimony, to the story, the testimony of Jesus Christ? How can you connect the two? You got to be with people. You have to earn the right to be heard. Right? You ever, it's kind of like, you know, basically like that saying is, you know, seek first to understand and then seek to be understood. You ever heard that? Well, you know, it's really hard because my friend Ralph, right, my Muslim from Bangladesh, guess what? I talked to him. I gave him a track the first time I met him. But we hang out every week now. He'll just call me up and be like, hey, you know, I got 30 minutes. Going to get coffee? Yeah, let's go get coffee. We won't talk about Jesus at all. Last time we hung out, we talked about DJing. He used to be a DJ. That was kind of crazy. But what's happening is, you know, it's really crazy. I was journaling this in my journal, my piece of paper that I scribble on. I was writing down one day and I was just like, man, I really like this guy. And I really have a desire for him to know you. I was talking to Jesus. What's happened is I've gotten to know Ralph. I've gotten to know Ralph, not this guy that I'm supposed to share the gospel with so that I can fulfill my little Christian quota. Guys, man, my heart breaks for Ralph. And every single day that I read the scriptures, I find verses that pop out at me during my time in the Word every day that just speak to me. It's like, pray this verse for Ralph. The next day, pray this verse for Ralph. Every single day as I read, you know, through the Bible, I've been doing this, you know, this is really cool, by the way. I do that every single day. I don't know if you guys read your Bibles every day, but if you do, it's really cool just to say, okay, God, give me a verse that I can pray over someone that's lost today. You ever get kind of bored praying the same thing for the same person all the time? You're just like, God, I really pray they do come to know you. I really pray they come to know you. It gets kind of boring. But every day you read your Bible, you know, you're reading different places. It's really cool because you always have these verses that jump out at you. So every day I've got kind of a different prayer for Ralph. But I really desire Ralph to know the Lord, not just so I can go up to my boss or, you know, my friends and be like, hey, we got another brother in the kingdom. God's good. But I can say, man, my friend Ralph is a believer. And more importantly, my friend Ralph made, you know, the choice to accept Christ, even though he's a Muslim, even though he's a part of a Muslim family, even though he knows the moment he tells his family, that can mean rejection for him. So guess what? I'm not only just praying for Ralph at this point. I'm praying for Ralph and his family. I'm praying that Ralph would become a believer, and I'm praying that his family would see the transformation in his life, and they would become believers. And then when they go back to Bangladesh, they can start a revival in their village. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not about me at all. It's about my friend Ralph and the kingdom. So how are you gonna do that? Third P, okay. So what's our first one? Preparation. Second one, yeah, proximity. You just gotta be around people. Okay, third P is patience. Right? But do this with gentleness and respect. It's the last of verse 15. You ever have those angry Christians that preach at you on your campus? I don't know if you have those. We've got them. We call them Preacher Bob, Preacher Jed. They come and preach at us and yell at us and say that, you know, all fraternities and sororities are going to hell. Which a lot of other, like, really solid Christians get really mad at those guys. I think it's a great opportunity to go up and share to people. Cause I'll go stand in the crowd with somebody and be like, what's this guy talking about? It's like, man, he's, you know, it'd be some, you know, fraternity guy, you know, cause you can tell a fraternity guy when you see one. You know, they got like the, you know, salmon shorts on with like flip flops and like a polo shirt on. So I'll go up to him and, you know, be like, what's this guy saying? He's like, dude, this guy's crazy, man. He's talking about, you know, all these people going to hell. I'll be like, that is crazy, man. What do you think about that? And guess what I just did? I used some crazy preacher on the street to engage another guy with the gospel. And guess what? I'd be like, man, you want to hear what I think? yeah, man, yeah, what do you think? And I'll tell them my testimony, and I'll tell them the gospel. So don't be afraid of those kind of people. But patience. Do it with gentleness and respect. See, like Ralph, once you get to learn someone, once you really get a heart for somebody, what do? You see them as a person, so then you begin to have patience for them. Why? Because you actually start to love them. It's really cool. I just met my family for the first time at the end of the summer. I moved my mom to Florida. My whole family's in Florida. I don't have a dad, so it's just been my mom and I in Oklahoma. My mom is 71 years old, so that was kind of a late surprise. Right? I don't think I was planned. Well, my sister is 49 years old. That's pretty crazy. I've never met her before. I mean, we've talked on the phone a few times, but I've never really hung out with her. So I moved my mom to Florida at the end of the summer. I hang out with her a little bit, but we're unpacking a little bit, right? So I'm kind of busy a lot. Then I had to fly back home. So I went home to Florida during the Christmas break, which is really, really fun because it was 80 degrees on a beach during Christmas Day. It was really rough. Then I came back to Oklahoma and I was in like the middle of a blizzard. I was just like, what has happened to my state? You know, but it was really cool because I was hanging out with my sister who's 49, kind of weird, right? And her husband, and they have a dog that's like 90 pounds. She's a 90 pound boxer. I don't know if you know what boxers are, but they have like the short stubby tails. And they are like, this dog thinks he's like a 5 pound Chihuahua lap dog. Because he'll be sitting on a chair and he'll like jump on you and then bring, like he'll cuddle up on you, but he's 90 pounds. And it's like, what do you do? I'll show you guys a picture later. But guess what? So here I am, and you know, they're like, so what do you do? You know, they're like, what do you, you know, you're out of college, right? I'm like, yeah. Like, what do you do? It's like, well, I work at the campus, and you're like, oh, what do you do? It's like, I do counseling, kind of, with spiritual matters. You know, because these people don't, you know, I mean, they don't know Jesus at all, and I'm trying to explain to them what I do. And I find it's like, I'm like a pastor on a campus. And they're like, and my brother-in-law was like, so what are you going to do, like, when you get done with that? Like, basically he was saying, it's like, okay, so what are you really going to do with your life? And I was like, that's what I want to do. They don't get that at all. I think that is crazy. They're in the belief that, you know, you have to have like a job with like a 401k and, you know, all this stuff. You need to be financially secure and then you can go have fun with your life. They don't get what I do at all. But I was struck at Christmas. Here I am. You know, it's the Christmas season. This season is about the birth of Christ. And I'm trying to share Christ with my family. And I was struck with the fact that I was like, wow. I really love my sister. I've just met her, really. It's kind of crazy. But I really love her. And I realize I need to be patient with her and gentle and respect her. And it's really cool. My brother was like, well, I respect that. That's what he told me at the end of my trip. He respects what I do. He's not interested yet. But you need to be patient with people. Don't give up on them. Like I said, I didn't come to college really walking with Jesus. It took a guy 16 weeks knocking on my door every week just to get time with me. Before I'd even visit, you know, the BSU with him. And then I got my life right. And then he started helping me read the Bible, and then he discipled me. 16 weeks, I slammed the door in his face. Is that discouraging or what? You guys gotten doors slammed in your face? Yeah, all the time. Like I say this week, I get people, or this, like I've been doing here, I get doors slammed in my face all the time at the university when I try to go share with people. But I try to engage them, I try to build relationships with them. Just because they say no, they're not saying no to me. They're saying no to Christ right now because they don't want him. They're not curious enough about it to have him. But they're not saying no to me, so I'll just keep the relationship up. And guess what? Then eventually they start getting curious. They're like, okay, can I just ask you one thing? Now, I know I hate Jesus, so just remember that. I don't like him at all. But why are you so happy all the time? I'm like, it's because of Jesus. No, I said, I hate Jesus. I'm like, yeah, but that's the reason why. And they just start getting curious. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Christ. And that's my prayer for them. That they could, that relationship with them. I just got to be patient with them. Respect them. And then the fourth P, it's not in the verse, but it's just assumed. Guys, you need to pray a lot. Pray, pray, pray. Guys, if you don't pray, I mean, you can't have the Spirit of God with you. Okay? Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the fellowship of his resurrection and the power of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Guys, when Paul says that I can be, you know, that I can be conformed to Christ, that I can know Christ, guys, when we ask Christ to help us, what we're saying is the same power that was able to take a man that was fully God, sacrifice himself on our behalf, die, rise again, and take the punishment for all of our sin. That power, guys, that is crazy power. There is no other power on this world like that. And we're basically saying, I'm tapping into that. I'm tapping into that when I go share with this guy. Kind of like what he, you know, Kim Hinfield was saying earlier, you know, that I pray it in the name of Jesus. When we're saying in the name of Jesus, what we're saying is the power that everything that Jesus is, I'm tapping into that source. Guys, that's what prayer does. You're tapping into the source. Guys, that is cool. If not, it's just me out there. Guys, I'm not going to make it very long. All right. I try to play that Modern Warfare game. My roommate just bought the second one. He's insane. He loves that game. And he's also a credible roomie. So he's like, dude, I want, you know, and I'm trying to get to know, you know, we're buddies. So we don't hang out a lot because we don't see each other a lot. So I'm like, dude, let's play games for a while because that's what he likes. So we're sitting there, we're playing video games and like, I'm terrible. Okay. Man, I'm getting shot at my, you know, my screen's getting red. He's like, what's going on? He's like, you're getting shot. I'm like, where? He's like, from the left. I turn around and I'm like, oh, I'm dead. You know, he couldn't even save me. He's like, okay, dude, I'll just play online. I was like, okay, I tried. Now, Rock Band, that's good, man. Let's hook up Rock Band. I'll play guitar all day on you. Right? But here's the thing. I won't make it very long. Wait, I found that out. And that's just a video game. Who knows what would happen in real conduct, you know, real warfare. You know, I don't get to come back. But when I tap into the energy source of Christ, guys, that's unlimited. And there's an incredible quote. I'm going to go ahead and tell you my favorite quote in the world. Then we're getting to this. It's a guy named James O. Fraser. He was a missionary to China about 10 years after Hudson Taylor. Here's my favorite quote in the world. The Christian is immortal till his work is done. Think of that. The Christian is immortal till his work is done. If you're doing everything God asks you to do, why are we fearing anything? Because the moment our work is done in this place, guess what happens? Why would we be here 1 second longer? The Christian is immortal till his work is done. That's why it's so great when you say, God, you are Lord. And I'm jumping out of that plane. Because I'm immortal. I can't die. Until when my work's done, why should I be here any second longer? I'm going to go be with him. So I want to get into this bridge. If you haven't noticed, I get a little passionate. This is just the way I talk. So, I mean, some people are just like, man, you are rambling. It's not total rambling. But it's a little rambling. Because I just get excited. I mean, you're talking about a total introvert at first. And here I am, like, I love doing this stuff. Right? My favorite place to share with are people on planes. Because they can't leave you. They're stuck there. Like, I'm going to go to the bathroom for the sixth time. And they don't come back for like 30 minutes. Man, what if I said something? Right? No, I've shared the bridge on the planes. I've shared the bridge on campus. I've shared a bridge with a girl I used to work with at the gas station. Like I said, the bridge is just an illustration, guys. It's just a tool. It's just like a hammer or a screwdriver. It's just something you use to help you get something done. Right? But the passion behind it is you. You know, if you guys ever like study electricity currents, I don't know if anyone else is dorky like me. You have an energy center, right? Okay, this is your little, okay, there's your little energy thing, okay? And here's your energy cables, right? Right? Okay. And here's a house. Okay. Now, this house is 10 miles away. All right. And now let's draw another house. Maybe there's a house right here. Okay. And this, you know, this, okay, there you go. Okay. Here's a house at 1 mile away. Here's a house at 10 miles away. If you study the currents of electricity, the power at this house is going to be stronger than the power at this house. That's why you have to have those little transformers at the houses, because what that does is that basically juices it back up again so that this house can have the same amount of power. But the amount of electricity in this line decreases over the span. So, say this is a 10. Okay, that's the amount of power that this guy is pushing out is a 10. This house right here is probably getting an 8, right? That's the amount of power it's getting. It's supposed to be an 8 right there. Okay. What is this guy getting? Right? You get all the way down the line, he's probably getting maybe a 2, maybe a 1. So what I'm trying to say is, if you go up and you're just like, hey, can I show you something that I think is pretty cool? It's about Jesus. You might not want to hear it, but I mean, can I show you anyway? You want to see it? What's that person going to say? No. Why? Because I'm pushing off. I'm not even getting a 10. I'm putting out like a 4. Right? I'm speaking something, so at least it's not a 1. Right? But man, these people are, remember, they're not here. They're not right here, right? They're way down here. They can't even see Jesus. They're not even excited about Christ. So if you're talking to someone that's never even heard of Jesus in his life and you're barely excited about it, why would they want to listen to you? You've got to be excited. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be crazy and extrovert and flailing your arms around and saying jokes. Passion comes in different forms and sizes, right? But when you're excited about something genuinely, people see it. And all I want to say is, let that come out. When you get excited about it, let it come out, but let it come out as you. Right? Don't try to be someone else. I made that mistake for most of my life. I was always trying to be the extroverts and trying to be funny and have jokes. And I just realized I'm just not funny. That's just, I had a person say to me, it's like, you know, you're really not funny. I was like, oh, thanks. I'll just say awkward statements from now on. How's that? Yeah, dude, you're great at being awkward. Thanks. So I'm going to kind of pretend like I have a conversation with you. Okay, I did this just recently. I was on a plane. And I'm flying back from Florida. This was this summer. And there's this kid next to me. And I'm just reading my book. I had a book with me. And I was just underlining it, you know, because there's parts in the book that I really like. I was reading a biography. So I was underlining parts of my book. And this kid next to me, you know, this guy was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, reading a book? He's like, no, why are you underlining it? And I was like, oh, I like to underline parts in books that I like. He's like, man, I've never seen that before. I'm just like, you ever go to school? Because that's what we all do. In fact, I go to used bookstores and I'll get like the worst one possible because it's already highlighted for me. I'm just like, I'm just going to read those and save my highlighter. So anyway, I start engaging this guy. You know, that was the way we got into it. So we start, he's like, so what are you reading? I was like, well, it's a biography. And he's like, oh yeah, what's it about? And it was, you know, it's about a missionary. So we kind of got into the gospel, you know, so what are you doing? He's like, well, you know, I'm just, you know, he does it. But I, you know, I led it towards a spiritual conversation. I'm like, you know, what do you think spiritually? That's all I said. What do you think spiritually? And he was, you know, he started engaging with me and he's just like, I mean, I never really thought about it. I'm just kind of more focused on school right now and, you know, I'm trying to get life going in the right direction. You know, the basic things, right? Money, life, family, kids, all that stuff. So I started engaging. He's like, well, hey, you know, if you're stuck on a plane, can I show you something about what I believe? And he got a few minutes. He's like, yeah. So we know that, you know how the stewardess come by, they give you the peanuts and the napkin and your drink. So I had the napkin with me, so I pulled that up and I grabbed it and I just said, well, hey, I'm just going to write down a verse for you and then an illustration that goes with that verse. And the guy was like, okay, that's cool. So the, you know, the bridge verse, right, is just Romans 6:23. All right. And normally what I do is I just write it down. Okay. Now, if you have a Bible, I like to show it to them. Man, I'm stretching this guy out. I like to show the Bible verse to them. That way they just see that it's actually in the Bible. They're not just like making it up. Like, hey, I'm going to show you a verse. I show it to him. I like, see, there it is right there. It's actually in the Bible. I'm just not making something up. But then I usually like to write it out. And writing it out kind of does a couple things. One, I mean, I have it memorized. And usually if someone has something memorized, it kind of means they believe in it a little bit more. It's more meaningful to them, right? Like, you know, your girlfriend's birthday, you know, your wife's, you know, your kid's birthdays, or, you know, your social security number. You have those things memorized. Why? Because they're kind of important to you. Right? So you memorize things that are important to you. So if you memorize a verse, that means it's important to you. People kind of see that. So I kind of write it out in three stages. For the wages of sin is death. And that's the first line for me. And I'll write it out just like that. You know, kind of scratchy. You know, obviously I don't have great penmanship. I was a music major, not an English major. I don't have penmanship abilities. I can't spell. E's are a very problem. They're a big problem for me. I don't know when to use them. If I don't know how to spell a word, I just put an E at the end. It works most of the time, right? Just like in Spanish, you just say O at the end of a word. Where are you going? Going to the store-o. Gonna buy some bananos. They're like, you're dumb. I tried it. I was in Cuba a while back, and I tried it, and they looked at me like I was an idiot. But the gift of God is eternal life. And then I do the third line, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I write it out for him. And then I'm just going to say, basically, I just do something like this. It's like, hey, I'm just going to kind of walk through this for you, if that's okay. And usually, you know, I draw my little cliffs, you know. Why? Because what's a bridge do? It connects two sides together. Now, what's interesting is, this is where, you know, our guy's at. Right? Here's our fella. That's where he is. So I'll just draw him over there. I'll be like, I think what we know, you're on a spiritual journey. What you're trying to find is God. So here's you. Here's God. The problem is we're just trying to figure out how to get there. Right? And this is basically the picture of where we are in life. Right there. And then basically I'll just be like, you know, do you feel like that sometimes? Well, I think it's really interesting as a Christian, especially if you're ever a Christian, like early on in life when you're like 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, maybe you become a Christian back in middle school or something. I think it's really hard if you've been a Christian for a really long time to basically come back on this side of the bridge and say, that's scary. You want me to go over there? You want me to cross the bridge? You want me to jump out of a plane? Dude, you're nuts. See, we've been over here so long that we're used to jumping out of planes. It's nothing to us. It's not scary. It's fun. You know, we get a rush out of it. But you're going to ask a first-timer to jump out of a plane from this side. It's scary as heck. So anytime we try to share the bridge, you know, anytime we try to share the Christ with somebody, we've got to remember, how about I step out of this shoe and come back over here on this side for a little bit and just simply ask the question, what am I asking them to commit to? And where are they at? Because guess what? You know, my guy might not be right there, right? Guess where he might be? He might be like way over here. There's a mountain here and a stream and a valley that he's got to get to before he even gets to this point. You know, so a lot of times I meet guys way over here and I'm just simply trying to bring them along. And when I get to this point, then I show them the bridge. Right? So I get to this point, I'm talking to a guy on his plane and I'm just like, okay, well, I just want to show you a couple words. And you can kind of circle the words, but a lot of times I'll circle them, I'll box them. I'll just say wages. Man, that's the wages. And I'll just be like, man, what are wages to you? You know, what's a wage? You know, Adrian, what's a wage? Something you get. Okay. What's another way of saying that? Something you earn. Okay. So I'll just make up a quick story. I'm like, okay, so say you're like, you're mowing yards, you know, you get $5 a yard that you mow, right? And you mow, you know, 10 yards, right? How much money you get? $50. What if the guy comes up to you and is like, hey, I know you mowed my 10 yards for me, but I'm only going to pay you $30. Is that okay? No, man. I get $5 a yard. I did 10 yards. I get $50. Right? It's something we earned. You earned that. That is rightfully yours. Correct? So, you know, a lot of times I'll just draw it on this side because what we're doing is we're talking about him right now. We're talking about the guy. So I put over here. Guys is something that he earned. So this verse makes a lot of sense when you just break it apart. So it's something you have earned. All right. And then I'll just come up here and it's like, okay, sin. What do you think sin is? So I'm talking to my guy. What do you guys think? When I ask you, hey, what is sin? How would you describe that to me? Okay. That's something God doesn't want. What's another example? Put yourself over here in this guy's shoes. Okay. Cross the bridge. Go back over. How would this guy say it? Bad things. Man, I hear that all the time. What's another thing they might say? Disobedience to God. I'll tell you what I hear a lot of times. There's about 10 of them. What do you think I get? The commandments. Why? Because they see Charlton Heston on Easter. Right? They know that one. Man, it was like those 10 laws or something. Right? Those 10 commandments. Yeah, I break those. But most of the time, people understand that sin is what separates them from God. They all have a different way of putting it. Some people understand it. Yeah, that's what separates me from doing God's will. Some people are just like, it's just bad stuff. So a lot of times, I'll ask them. I was like, you know, what do you think some of those sins are? And this is where they start listing off those 10. They're pretty good at them. Sometimes they get quite a few of them. They're like, what's the one that you think they'd say? Yeah, don't kill. So what I do, I just kind of write that guy right there. Yeah, kill. Bam. Okay. What's another one? Lying? Yeah. Lying. Listen, stealing, man, boom, put that one on there. You know, adultery, I get that one quite a bit. So I just kind of write these down. I just kind of write them around down there. And then I ask him, it's like, you ever done any of those? I'll just ask him straight up. It's really interesting. You'd be surprised how honest they'll get with you. If they get to this point, they'll probably be honest with you. So I ask him, it's just like, you know, you ever done any of those? Well, it's like, man, I've never killed anybody. I'm like, well, you ever lied? They're like, oh, yeah, man, I lied. Yeah, I've done that. I'll be like, yeah, me too. So sometimes, you know, guess what I'll do? I'll be like, yeah, I did too. So I draw myself over there. Why? Because now they don't see me against them. I'm putting myself with them. Because we're on this journey together. Okay, so sin, and then I say death. Now this one's a little bit harder to explain, but I just simply say, okay, now do you think this is talking about a physical death? And they don't really understand it sometimes, but I'll just say, okay, well, let's look at the word. Something, you earned it. This is your wages. So your sin has earned you what? Death. So you've lied, right? You said you've lied. Yeah. Are you dead? No, man, I'm alive. Okay, so it's not a physical death then, right? Oh, no, man, I'm still alive. So then I usually just kind of help them out. I'm like, usually this is a spiritual death. What this means is like, if you were to die, it means you're going to die separated from God. And then basically I'm like, if that's all the verse said, I'll just put my hand over it. You know, I'll just cover up the rest of it. I'm like, what does that sound like to you? Does that give you any hope? Basically, the earnings for your sin is death. Usually they agree with me. It's like, man, that sounds hopeless. That sounds terrible. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And I just write on the side. I just write hopeless. Just like that. Hopeless. I'm like, but then comes the best but in the entire Bible. Right? I love the word but in this verse. But the gift of God. Okay. The gift. What is a gift? Something given to you. Yeah, it's a gift. Right? We just got Christmas. You got gifts. You have birthday, right? Gifts. But here's something I'll do with somebody. I'm like, so, Michael, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you this dry erase marker. It's slightly used. So, here. And I'll just hold it out to him. Now, Michael is pretty quick to pick it out of my hand. Sometimes they just stare at me for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, so when's this gift become yours? Ken, how about you, man? Here, I want to give you this pen. When does it become yours? Yeah, what'd you do? Yeah, the idea is a gift is given, but it has to be received. And I try to make that point clear to them. The gift has got to be given. Christ is giving us the gift of life, but it has to be received. We have to accept that. And the thing is, and a lot of times I'll just look at it as like, God, from the day you were born, has been handing out his hand saying, here's the gift of life. But I can't give it to you until you receive it. And I'll just hold it out there. That is amazing. The act of them actually taking that out of your hand sometimes helps them click. Okay. What is the gift, guys? Eternal life, right? So I'll just write that down there, eternal life. And then this usually I say, it's like, okay, so where is eternal life spent? Heaven. Yeah. They always get that one right. No one has ever got that one wrong over the like last 10 years that I've been doing this. No one has ever gotten that one wrong. They know where eternal life is spent. It's in heaven, right? They get this. And conversely, when I say, you know, where is death spent, what do they say? Yeah, they know that one too. They know those two words really well. So then I stop it. So then again, I do the same thing. I cover up the rest of the verse. I'm like, okay, so let's just recap real fast. The wages of your sin is death spent in hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. God has the gift of eternal life, and he wants to give it to us. But here's the problem. Here's the great problem. Our sin is what's separating us. So how do we get there? And that's where you get to the last words. Christ. And that's when you can do, you know, you can draw a little bridge like that. You know, sometimes you can just come out and, you know, you can draw like a cross kind of thing. Something. I just draw it in there. And I'm like, what Jesus did is he died on the cross to cancel your sin. I just straight up cross it out just like that. I'll just cross it out. I'm like, Jesus is the way to get to God. That's the gift. Okay? And then the very last word, though, because I don't like people just accepting Christ because it's a feel-good thing. The last word is what? Lord. And what is the Lord? We talked about already. How would you describe that to them? I use the same illustration. So back in the times of medieval times, you know, and you had kings. I mean, I just go into it. You know, and a lord went up to a serf and said, I want you to plant my field. What does the serf do? And they're like, oh man, he goes and does it. I'm like, it's the same way. When Jesus becomes Lord, he's saying is, okay, I want to give you this eternal life. But if you want to jump out the plane, I need you to do it with me. I basically asked him, it's like, is this something you want to do? Do you want to commit your life to Christ? And this is the funniest thing is really, and I do it all the time too, so don't think I'm, you know, I do this. I forget to do this. We get through this entire illustration. We get through our testimony. You know, and at some point, you know, like right now, I'd be like, you know, I used to be over here. This is how I get my testimony. It's like, I used to be over here, you know, but then when I got into college, a guy used to live with me, and he shared the gospel with me for 16 weeks. And I finally realized, you know what? Jesus is the way. And I accepted Christ. And I would just draw an arrow with myself over. And then I just simply asked that. I would ask them, is this something you'd like to do? See, I think it's crazy is we'll share the gospel and never give them an opportunity to accept. Right? We'll never do it. We'll get to this whole thing and be like, so you think, what do you think about that? It's like, man, I think I want to do that. You're like, okay, well, that's cool. So, hey, we got this thing coming up later tonight. You should come. It's just like, we never give them the opportunity. Now, if they say no, does that mean that we failed? Absolutely not. We didn't fail at all. But we gave them the opportunity to. And guess what? They got moved closer to Jesus. So is it a failure if by the end of the time, the guy's here is now here? Is that a failure? No, because guess what happens to the next guy that comes along? Guess what he's going to do? Guy, he's on the edge of the cliff, man. The next guy, it might not be you, but that's okay, right? It might be your neighbor. It might be your roommate. It might be some conference he goes to and he hears some, you know, speaker that's like nationally famous say the exact same thing you said, word for word. The guy's like, dude, that guy blew my mind. And you're like, he said, dude, I told you that exact same stuff 2 months ago. I don't care. Man, I could care less because that guy's on the edge. And like I said, guys, there's not like the right way and the wrong way to share the bridge. I've heard stories of guys that have absolutely butchered the bridge. I mean, I don't even know how the gospel came out of that thing. And the guy became a believer. And I'll tell you what, I've given the most polished presentation of the bridge that I can do. And a guy totally flattened out, turned me down. So it's not about you. It's about your faithfulness. When you have an opportunity to engage somebody and give them this opportunity to accept that you're faithful to jump out the plane and take a risk. I've only gone halfway through it sometimes and the guy's like, man, I really got to go. I'll be like, well, hey, do you want to get together again sometime and finish it off? Yeah, that'd be cool. Hey, what's your phone number? Are you on Facebook? You Skype? Yeah, dude. Wait, man, what's your phone number? Guess what they just did? They gave me their phone number. That's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to call him. I'm going to Facebook him. Be like, hey, dude, you want to go hang out sometime? That's what I did with Raphael. That's Ralph. That's his real name. It slipped. That's what I did with Ralph. I just got his phone number and started inviting him out to dinner. So me and Andrew and Ralph, slipped out that one. We all just got dinner again. And then Ralph started calling me. He's like, hey, you want to go get dinner? You want to go hang out? See, we keep continuing our conversation. So that's just the bridge, and you're going to see that probably again throughout this seminar or this conference. But I just want to kind of walk you through kind of a way that I would do it. There's things you can add. You can add things, take away things, depending on how much time you have. If I've only got 5 minutes, I'm not going to throw a whole lot of stuff out there. I'm going to get through it, but I'm basically going to get a really simple picture for them because I want them to have that. So that's all I've got. If you have any questions or anything like that, feel free to just come up, talk to me. I'll be behind the soundboard during the main sessions. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I think we're good. Father, I thank you so much that sharing the gospel is not dependent on us at all, because I would mess it up every time. Father, I thank you so much that is your power. Lord, that is your desire through us to help share Christ. I want to pray for all of us in this room. Lord, every one of us right now probably can think of someone in our life that doesn't know you. Lord, I want to pray for that person right now. I'm lifting up Ralph in my mind. Father, I'm lifting up my neighbors. Lord, and the guys in here and girls, I want them to lift up, Lord, the people that they're thinking of. And Lord, we want to commit right now, Father. Lord, help us to see the opportunity that you're going to give us this semester to be able to share with you, or share you with them, Lord. Father, I pray that we would have the opportunity to share the bridge in any way that it comes out, whether it's on a napkin or the back of a receipt or on a piece of paper. And God, help us to, you know, through your power to help them move them closer to you. And I pray that they would take that step. Lord, if they entered 2010 not knowing you, I pray that 2011, they would be sharing you with other people. Lord, I thank you for this day. It really is a day from you. I pray that our lives would glorify you, Lord. Thank you for this time. I pray this in your name, because, Father, it's in your name that these things happen, for your glory. Amen.